How's it going, listeners? Welcome back to HuboCast. This is our third episode in our annual Halloween series, and in this episode, we're going to be talking about Bramble.
Sure. We don't really have a lot of extra stuff to talk about today, so yeah, we might get into the game pretty early.
The only thing that we have in our small talk is, Spider-Man 2. Which is, wait, when is that releasing, actually?
People have their hands on it now.
Oh, have you guys seen that like big promo they did in, I think it was like Australia for the game?
No.
Ben, are you able to pull that up?
What?
So look up Spider-Man 2.
I don't know how the screen capture. Oh, you don't have this one monitor.
You only have one monitor?
Yeah.
Why? What's wrong with the other one?
We had replaced the graphics card and it's slightly different. So
there's only one HDMI
adapter for that.
Oh.
I actually have an adapter for it already.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll explain it. So it's basically they did this like, I think it's Australia, but they did this promo for the game where in the city they had this full-size giant truck and it was held like upwards by a bunch of webs. And then it had like a big sign on it saying like Spider-Man 2.
That's pretty cool.
It's just like a really cool like marketing thing.
You guys ever seen the Disney, I think it's Disney, the Spider-Man stunts they do? They built this robot Spider-Man. So they have like this live action guy go out and like reenact this thing. And there's all this audio in the background. So he's not even lip syncing because he has a mask on, but he's kind of acting it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes behind the building and they actually flip this robot spider through the air and it lands in a net like across a building. But there was this glitch in the one time where the spider actually flew and broke through a building.
What?
And then afterwards, like, the audio was like, I'm okay. Like, it was...
Oh, they played it off? You know?
Well, no, that was what he was supposed to do anyway. Oh. He was supposed to, like, sort of crash, but not into the building. It's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, I think I vaguely remember a video of that robot doing, like, the tuck. Like,
yeah.
Program it to tuck and stuff.
But, like, sometimes it glitches and it just goes flying and, like, hits something on the wall.
It's funny. I keep seeing videos of the Indiana Jones thing where the guy like the actor live, this is supposed to happen, but live he like runs away from the rock and they make it look like the rock literally like goes over him. Like I think they have like a plate that goes down.
I've
but
seen
it looks
that
like it crushes him. It's funny.
Yeah, I thought that was, I don't know if that was actually,
what is that, Universal?
It might be Universal. I thought it was one of those fake things, like he wasn't supposed to fall. I'm not sure. Maybe that was a scripted one.
Well, I thought so too. Then I saw a comment where a guy said, "Yeah, we go there every year, and it happens like that every time."
Oh, okay.
The other thing you might notice. So we raised the bit rate of the podcast because prior to us getting new Wi-Fi last week, we had this awful Wi-Fi, like the worst. So hopefully, you can see a difference in the video version of the podcast.
Wait, is this the first podcast back with the new internet?
No,
last week.
Last week was
it?
The only Wi-Fi that was worse was the Wi-Fi when we were on vacation.
Oh,
that was terrible.
Not as bad as the Wi-Fi we had in Rhode Island.
Oh, that was a T-Mobile hotspot. T-Mobile 5G hotspot Wi-Fi.
My AT&T hotspot did better than the Wi-Fi on vacation though. Like I downloaded like 10 gigabytes of a game on the hotspot.
And, but at least we could play stuff on the TV or watch stuff on the TV.
I think they had the same thing, the T-Mobile hotspot or whatever, right?
No, it was I think it was an Xfinity thing. I'm not sure.
Why is this so bad?
Not sure, but
maybe it's location.
It's like an Airbnb thing. Go to an Airbnb and expect
they go super cheap with the internet.
Yeah,
which is kind of dumb because you'd think that'd be like a main experience.
It's not even that much less, like. The Verizon keeps trying to push the Verizon home Wi-Fi on me, and it's like $25 a month, but normal Wi-Fi should be like $50,
mm-hmm.
and you're just, you know, you'll have less problems in general.
They leave you like a Roku and stuff there. You'd think they'd leave some good Wi-Fi so you could actually use it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's all they know.
What? Oh, they probably...
Bad Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, it's normal.
It's not even good for video streaming, like let alone gaming.
Yeah. Imagine people that watch videos on like the lowest quality, it's super blurry, and they just sit there and watch it, like
because they're normal. They're used to it.
Yeah,
they're used to it loading and buffering. Ugh,
that's like when we first got PCs. All of us, we had really bad PCs. I mean, at least mine was really bad, and we would play like PUBG at like 25 to 30 FPS.
Yeah, it looks so
super
bad.
Choppy, and we didn't care.
I remember years ago, the big thing was like And I remember when you got your gaming laptop, it was like one of the big things was like, oh, look how fast it boots up.
Yeah, that thing did boot up fast, though. I don't know what it was. I just remember like I would press it and in like 10 seconds it would be fully booted up.
Oh, I ordered the Kraken water cooler or whatever. Liquid cooler.
Oh, nice. The one with the screen?
It has a screen.
You got the mirror? Infinite mirror?
No, not the infinite mirror. It tells me like, it's not the one where you can customize, I don't think, but it tells me like the temps and stuff. Yeah.
Mm.
Because I got the new CPU, but I was having so much trouble putting the cooler on because I was trying to like not lean it over. I was trying to like do it at a leaning angle.
Yeah.
And so I think I put it on wrong and it was just way too hot.
Mm. Yeah, I love water coolers. So nice.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I don't think we have anything else really.
No, that's,
I mean,
the intro talk.
There's Alan Wake 2 coming out at some point.
I've been hearing something about people are annoyed about the requirements, but then I saw something this morning. Some guy who's had people to have hands on said it's probably like one of the best looking games ever made.
What is the requirement?
It's super intensive. I'm not sure.
Is it like 3080? Are you recommended?
Yeah, they say like on the next gen consoles, it's the low setting, the lowest possible setting.
Wow.
Mm. And I mean, like anything else higher than that.
From the trailer alone, it looked really good.
Show off gameplay.
Yeah, when we were watching it.
Yeah, it looked really good. We still need to beat the first game.
Mm-hmm. I haven't even started it.
But
that could be a project. Maybe over like that dry period in January, February.
Project.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
because I don't know, like
some of those old games are kind of a slog to get through.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it? Like, there's not really much happening in December. Could start December.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If we're not still,
because November is COD month.
That's
for
COD
us.
COD month, yeah.
That's going to be kind of crazy.
Play more Lies of P, Caleb?
No, but I was wanting to, and then I realized that we had to play Bramble.
Mm.
So I'm going to try it again at some point, but I don't know. It depends on this next game, which I think the next game we have is Killer Frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So if that one takes like really long, I might have to wait till we're done with the series and then start it up again. But then COD's coming out, so it's like... Ugh.
Yeah,
timing is always so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but... I can't wait for COD.
I'm not doing the camel grind. That's just
I'm gonna try it.
I'm gonna complete last year's camel grind. I might try that. Orion and then be done with it because it seems like there's gonna be like 18 maps or something.
16 at launch, so and then they have 12 that they're gonna release, like 3 per season.
Wait, I think I just have headshots left.
Yeah, you just have Pauly. It's really easy. And maybe I think there's the melee weapons that you need to deal with. Too,
I remember it was the rocket launchers. That challenge.
Is it the double kills?
Yeah, but it was like with the crappy ones that made me so upset because I couldn't even on what's that small map?
Shipment.
I couldn't get it. Like, it's just infuriating.
Yeah.
Wait, double kills?
So with the poly challenge, most guns are just headshots. But with the rocket launchers, you have to get double kills. But think of using like that. What's that really crappy one that has
Pila?
Just like...
Yeah. Actually, I'm pretty sure I did those already.
You don't even need to shoot the rocket launcher to get double kills.
Huh?
You just use melee with the rocket launcher and it still counts.
I did melee for all of those.
I think I tried. I don't know. I was just having a really bad time. That was after we did that one weekend.
I'm so glad I didn't do that.
It was more than just a
guys.
Weekend.
It
was like the month of December.
Yeah, but that one double XP weekend, I genuinely think that we dump like at least 10 hours.
Maybe
15.
More than 10 hours, I would say. I don't know. It was kind of ridiculous. It literally like turned me off COD for the whole year, pretty much. It's just too much. I'm not going to play that much so I can actually enjoy it more.
Too good.
Anyway. Yeah, but not really any intro talk, but that gives us more time to talk about the game. So,
the game is actually. Probably the best one that we've played so far.
What was the other ones we played?
RE4 DLC. Considering it's only a short DLC.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that one's just an extension of the main game, really. So I wouldn't consider it a full game.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've enjoyed this one the most.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is, like, way up there in terms of, like, horror games for me. Well, creepy. Like, I don't know. It is kind of horror. Because there's, like,
it is horror. It is. It's very little nightmares.
It's just not scary. It's creepy.
Yeah. Well, because I really enjoyed the game, but I don't think we shouldn't compare it to Little Nightmares because they take some inspiration. It's obvious, but it's very different in the execution. And I think if you compare it to Little Nightmares, that's for me, that's where like I start to feel like less positive about the game. But if you take it as its own thing, I feel even more positive about it in a way.
Well, most of the community compares it to Little Nightmares.
They do, yeah. But I think that Little Nightmares does everything that it tries to do better. Like, you know, like the disturbing parts kind of happen. Like, I know you were playing the game and you were saying like, oh, there's blood everywhere, he's dying. Like, I don't know. Like, I knew it was coming up, so it wasn't like a surprise.
I think the way they represent it is different. Like, Little Nightmares more of like, for instance, in Little Nightmares, when you're traversing that part where you're on like a sea of shoes, you know those shoes are from children. So it's like disturbing.
Yeah.
But it's not like in your face. In this game, they like have you moving through like intestines.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in that game, you actually didn't know it was from the children because you didn't know anything that was happening.
Well,
there was a mystery. Yeah, but you hadn't even seen a child, I don't think, as far as I know. It really goes slow. It's slow moving and there's way more mystery.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about Little Nightmares better. And like the parts where like you're in the water and there's a thing chasing you. And at least in this game, there's at least two of them, I think, right? Maybe one.
There's a couple.
No, there was two. Hours, yeah. I didn't find them that nerve wracking. Like, I don't know. I took it really slow.
Yeah.
And they still like weren't even anywhere near me. So like, I think that it doesn't do some things as well. So kind of treat it as its own thing. Don't expect like the same game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think you should expect the same game, but I think it does take a lot of inspiration for Little Nightmares. Like, it's still in the same
side as well.
Yeah. I'd say they're all in the same genre, although this one does it way or a lot differently.
It's more mature,
but I agree with
I'm not saying it's Little Nightmares is mature, I guess, like
this one,
but it's there's just like a lot of iffy,
we'll talk about
like,
it later,
like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they don't hold back in a lot of ways. But I agree with Chug. I said the same thing. Like, I think it's in terms of enjoyment and experiencing something new, I think it's on par with Little Nightmares. I don't think that, like, when I played Little Nightmares, I was blown away. I don't think I got that much of enjoyment from it, but it's like kind of like in the same area, in the same like
it's a level. Yeah, it's I'm not comparing the games themselves, I'm comparing them the how, yeah, like you said, yeah, the enjoyment.
There were so
the
many
game.
Times when I was playing it and Chug too where we're like, oh, that's so cool, or like, what is happening? This is so like,
because they keep shocking. Adding in these new mechanics, which yeah. we'll get into later, that just like make the game more interesting as you go on. It like changes the gameplay a lot.
It's just refreshing
as you go on, which is really cool.
I'm pretty sure it's their first game, if not their first game, one of their first. They don't have very many of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually hadn't looked up anything about their.
Well, yeah, I was just curious about like the development process and stuff. Like the Little Nightmares team, there was about 30 people from what I could see. This game had 20 people. Hmm. So not a huge difference, but Little Nightmares team had actually worked on Little Big Planet. They did Big Planet DLCs.
Oh, wow.
Little Big Planet for the PS Vita. Huh. So like they're really experienced with that type.
Oh, yeah.
And there were interviews with like the head developer or whatever. And he was talking about how they put so much time into making the world feel as like unnerving as possible.
Yeah.
And like in some cases, like they let some mechanics suffer because they didn't have as much time to like work on it. Like, you know, certain puzzles where like you try to jump and you sometimes like don't know where the platform is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like these games all have kind of the same issues with that sometimes.
Yeah.
They said like they opted to spend more time on the creepiness factor and polishing other things.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think with this one, they didn't have as much of a specialization, so they kind of like took some of the formula and then went and did their own thing with it, which that's why I think it's so unique and there's really nothing like it, because they took something that was existing and people liked, added to it, and then tried new stuff all over the place.
Well, the way they did it, so just a brief summary on the game. So the game is inspired by, what would you say, like Nordic folklore?
Swedish. It says on the Steam page, Nordic folklore.
It's kind of the same thing, right?
It's around the same difference.
So it follows a boy named Ole, I think.
And
his sister. Basically, they against their mother's wishes, they go out at night and explore the forest, and then they find themselves in like another world or something, and then all these like Nordic evil presences or whatever like start, you know, they have to
basically like fairy tales.
Yeah,
like all these different, their version of fairy tales goes after you.
Where was I going with that? Something about what you were saying. Oh, the storytelling. So I think that's another huge difference in Little Nightmares and Inside, frankly. Those games don't tell you story, really. The way they represent it is through the visuals and what's happening around you. With this game, it's told in like a storybook fashion, where there'll be times where there's cutscenes, and then there'll be times where there's a lady that voices over and kind of explains like, Ole is going through this and feeling very anxious or something. Which kind of reminds me of a game that I played last year in Vermont on the Steam Deck. You played it too.
I didn't beat it, but yeah, I did play
it. What was it? I can't remember the name.
The Last Campfire?
The Last Campfire.
Hmm.
It was very similar to that. Like, there's a voiceover storytelling aspect.
But that's a puzzle game. It's a little different.
But, yeah, so the way they do it is, like, way different, too. So I agree with that. They definitely change things.
And I think, for me, anyway, I prefer Little Nightmares, like, storytelling style. Actually, that's my favorite, like, absolute favorite storytelling style, where, like, they don't actually tell you what's happening. And you kind of piece it together in your mind. And I think there's
no dialogue, right?
None, no.
Yeah.
And there's, and at least with horror, the more they tell you, the less horror it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Little Nightmares is more pure horror. This is more like whimsical horror.
Because they show you straight up. Like, yeah. They show you the creatures and stuff.
And I was saying before the podcast that I was reading the people that grew up with these fairy tales have more experience with them, like they, like parents probably told them these things before they went to bed and stuff like that, so seeing them like twisted in that way is probably pretty creepy. So we don't have that experience, but we have the experience of just like viewing all of the of what's happening, you know.
We'll talk about it later in the spoiler section, but I watched a couple like theory videos or whatever. There's a couple theories out there that we'll talk about, but I've seen a lot of comments from people that are from that area. And they kind of like debunk some of the theories, or at least like there's no real like answer to what the game is about. But yeah, a lot of them were saying like, oh yeah, these are like, a lot of them are cautionary tales for like not going outside or like, you know, don't go out at night and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's usually where fairy tales came from. Just like stories parents tell their children to keep them from doing something. You know, oh, don't go in the woods. The evil witch will eat you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't.
Wasn't the original story of that like actually really dark? Like they got eaten?
Oh, yeah. They died.
Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah. Which that's a, is that German?
Yeah, it is.
Pretty sure Grimm's Fairy Tales was like German or something like that.
I think so.
Those are pretty messed up.
Imagine have you ever read some of the Grimm's Fairy Tales? Like
I haven't, no.
The original, I think it was either Snow White or Sleeping Beauty, I don't know. At the very end of the story, they made the evil witch, they put like burning, like red hot shoes on her and made her dance until she died.
In what, Hansel and Gretel?
No, it was either it Snow like White
Cinderella
or Sleeping Beauty.
I don't know.
One of those princess fairy tales. They're all super dark. And I guess like most fairy tales are dark originally. We probably in the US, we've really like censored them and made them little happy things, but
yeah.
At least in some of the other folklore from other countries, they don't really do that. They still keep the old creep factor in a lot of them. Like, you know, the witch eats the children if they go out.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that contributes to anything. Like our young generation is watching Skibidi Toilet.
Yeah.
Like,
I had no idea what that was. And it randomly one popped up in YouTube and I clicked on it and I think I was around.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is this? What am I watching?
It's so like bad. It's literally brain rot. I don't even understand.
You have a name for those types of videos. They're
SFM.
Is that, what is it?
Source Filmmaker.
Oh. It's made with
Joe
SFM.
Joe used that once.
Video I made.
Yeah, that was funny.
That I made that in SFM. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but I was thinking like there's people call those types of videos like the YouTube shorts. They
YouTube
call them,
poop?
Like, some like.
Well, there's a genre called YouTube poop, YTP. Where it's just like, oftentimes you see Spider-Man and like it's like pizza time and they'll put pizza time in like every 30 seconds.
Oh.
Like, I don't know. They really just cut up the videos and just throw memes at the most stupid places. There's some really weird genres out there.
I can't imagine like a 10-year-old still developing on YouTube, like scrolling and see.
YouTube poop was around when we were 10. And I'm pretty sure I watched some of those when we were younger.
What?
They're pretty old. YTP ones.
Oh.
I don't know. You've probably seen them. I know Spider-Man was a big one.
Yeah.
There's like memes about like kind of similar to that now. Just like those like compilations, those rando compilations of memes. Like that's basically YouTube poop.
Mm.
Those are kind of funny though.
They are.
But back to the game.
So the beginning of the game, it's very happy. And like there's gnomes in there, like little nightmares.
Oh, the gnomes are awesome.
Yeah.
Cute.
I felt like they really tried to push, like, oh, they're so cute. Watch them die. I don't know. Like, they actually had baby noises, and they were actually baby gnomes.
Yeah, they looked like babies.
Well, they were, because the dad gnome was there with the beard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they were actually just straight up baby gnomes.
You had them they had you play with them, hide and seek.
Yeah. And then you just watch them die.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they don't make a big deal out of it. Like, I'm not going to spoil Little Nightmares, but when something like that happens in that game, it's like shocking. Like, oh man, like why am I doing this? But in this game, it's just like, well, another one down.
That's the world for you, I guess.
Well, we can talk about it in the spoiler section, but I think it contributes to like the overall story ish. I don't know. There's an aspect to it that I saw a comment about it that someone found it like interesting how they did stuff like that throughout the game. But we can talk about it later.
I mean, also there could be the with the gnomes or whatever, the folklore behind the gnomes themselves being that they're more of like a creature rather than a human, I guess. Hmm. And so it's like, doesn't really matter.
Yeah. I was watching a video. I didn't watch the whole thing, but the guy's channel name was like Swedish folklore, horror folklore or something like that, where he's from there and he just talks about like stuff. So he was talking about the game. And he was describing all, like, the whole list of different creatures they had in the game. And their, like, original names and then the translated names. It was just really cool to see, like...
Those were the translated names?
What?
The ones in the game.
Gnomes?
Oh, no, like...
No, the names not the names. Oh. I mean, like, the creatures. So, like, we call them gnomes. And they had, like, some sort of, like, name originally. It was, like, I wouldn't even be able to remember it. But, but yeah, it was just really cool to see how they integrated all that into the game.
There's the one scene where you find your sister pretty early on. I thought for sure it was gonna be a different turn there, like in Little Nightmares. There's one big boss enemy that was like the tall lady. Like, you see her in the background, and when you see her there, like, I think she's even singing too, like like the sister was. I was like, is this gonna be a Little Nightmares thing? But it was completely different. Like, just, I don't know. They really go after the storytale aspect with the little glowy thing that they go after. Also, a lot of times I didn't feel bad for the little kid because they kind of got themselves into the situation.
Yeah.
It's the cautionary tale thing, I guess.
Yeah.
But because, like, literally, they were fine. Mom told them not to sneak out, so they both sneaked out. Then, not only did they do that, but they played with a ball near the edge of a cliff and fell down the cliff.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, I also had theories, like, oh, it's all a dream, like, they got knocked out at the bottom, something like that. But from there, the game really just goes crazy with lots of stuff. The first real area is the butcher area. I don't even know what you call that.
Yeah, it's like, it is a butcher area. Yeah.
It's a huge contrast from the scene like right before it.
Well, yeah, because actually I was going to say it's kind of spoilerish, I guess.
Well, I'm not going to say like too much about it.
Yeah.
But it's a really disturbing area compared to the happy little forest you were just exploring.
They kind of go back and forth some in the start of the game. Like, there was like that, and then it goes like in a dark area, then it's back to the daytime, but then something happens. And it's like, I kind of like how they did that. Kind of make you feel safe for a little bit, then it's actually not.
Yeah. So. I think they did something once where it was completely happy out and then literally instantly changed to darkness. I forget when that was.
Yeah, that was the well.
Oh, yeah.
He was looking at the well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, that was the only time they did that, though. It was like a very stark change just out of the blue.
So the game's a platformer, I would say, but it has some combat aspects. I don't know. How do you guys feel about the combat? Because I was kind of iffy about it.
The combat,
the way they did it,
was okay.
I think it was okay,
the
for
boss
it was.
Fights.
Yeah,
that were mean, really tedious.
What do you mean the combat separately?
So the combat was how you would defeat bosses in the game with the light.
You're talking about bosses?
Yeah. So the combat, oh, okay. How you'd beat the bosses? Because I don't think there's combat in any other area.
I think the bosses are my favorite part by far.
You like the
what
way?
What about
you...
the final two bosses? I'm not gonna say what they are, but
well, I got annoyed.
They were kind of long and tedious.
Final two? The final boss was insane. Like I think it could have been cooler, but literally that's. I was very iffy about the game until like one of the final bosses. I was like, okay, this is awesome. I love this.
Huh.
Because like, there are certain times where they try to be really disturbing and like in your face about things, but the huge set pieces, the bosses, like they were slow. Yeah, and. Like there, I'm like, oh, this boss is just kind of letting me run around, and like while he's slowly aiming his weapon at me, it's like kind of forced, but still, like the experience is cool.
I think the set pieces were really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they couldn't have done it any other way. The way that did the combat, I agree with you on the tedious part. I think like I can't say it, but. Well, we can talk about it later.
It's always in pairs of three.
Yeah.
There's always
it's very,
three
like,
phases to each boss.
There's nothing really different. It's like, this happens, this happens.
And, like, when you're in the first phase and you're just, like, sitting there and you're like, I have to do two more phases.
Oh, I did
I'm
like
the,
oh,
no.
The, I won't say the name, but, like, the forest boss. The lady.
Oh.
That was cool. But the trees.
That one was okay. I didn't like how... She shot these things on the ground that were like exploding at random.
Yeah, once I got the hang of it, I started to enjoy it, but at first it was annoying. Like I already remember asking you, it was like, "What am I supposed to do here?"
Mm-hmm.
And then you told me, and I was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, oddly enough, I think that was my least favorite boss. Huh. Like I did like it, but I enjoyed other ones more, specifically the final boss and the first boss.
Well, yeah, the final one was really good.
It was cool. Yeah, very big set piece, but there were areas of it or aspects of it I was like, "Come on, like." This is just like a tick the box off over and over and over until you complete that area. Then like, I don't want to say too much about it, but we can talk about it in the spoiler section.
Mm-hmm.
By far my least favorite part of the game was the stealth. I don't know if
there
you
was
guys.
Stealth?
Yeah.
Oh, well, and, okay. So from what I was reading, there's a whole section where there's like literal zombies.
Yeah.
The developers were actually running out of like time and money at that point.
Oh.
So it's not like it's not very well fleshed out. That section wasn't
makes
anyway.
Sense.
There was a part where you had to be in the house in the dark and the enemies don't see you in the dark, but if you have to turn your light on and they instantly attack you.
Mm-hmm.
I turned my gamma all the way up and I could just see in the dark. So I just that part was my least favorite part of the game.
I actually didn't use my light at all in that area. I still got past it.
Then you probably had better gamma settings by default than I did.
Yeah, I mean, it was dark, but I could still see a little bit.
I was actually playing it on the OLED for a little bit, and then I moved to the other computer. But, the game looked really good, because I was streaming it from my PC in 4K. So it actually looked really good.
Huh.
But the darkness was just too much.
Yeah, I could see that.
So once I turned the gamma up, it was fine. But then I turned it back after, because it looked really washed out.
You didn't mind the stealth parts?
I didn't mind the zombie area, no.
I just got so annoyed at
I don't know. It was tedious, but I don't know. It was like there were certain the areas I could see exactly where I was supposed to go, if that makes sense. And so it's kind of like I have to do this and then I have to get them to move over here and then I can move this way.
But the zombies
it was kind of like a puzzle in my brain, I guess.
Well, no, it wasn't even a puzzle though. Like if you played it like a puzzle, you probably did it wrong because the zombies don't see you if you go in the grass. So
if they see you
and you run into the grass and you duck down, they'll just move back.
But I've gotten killed in the grass twice.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's like there's like these weird
like it was either a glitch or something, but the other thing is I didn't like how they had that like very mapped out like trail.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, I know they're gonna come over here, but it was like annoying. I don't know, I didn't like how like I had to stand up and they would run around, and then
before I forget, they did this thing even early on where they would give you a prompt or like a tutorial prompt on a random object right? So usually, like, you know, if it's on an object, to go over and like do it on the object. Like the first time it says press this button to climb, and it's on this little rock. So I'm like, I go over to it and I'm pressing it, and it's not climbing it, but it actually wants me to go to the opposite side of the area and climb, because they put the prompt on such a weird thing. They did it like 3 or 4 more times, like press this button to open the gate or whatever. So I go to the button or the prompt to open it, and there's actually a gate like on another screen that I have to go to. It was really weird. Huh. I don't know why the prompts were the way they were.
I'm trying to remember that.
Like, there was at least 3 times where it happened.
Hmm.
And I was like, why do they put the prompt over there? It's such a random spot.
Huh.
The zombie section, the chase at the end of that was definitely my favorite.
That
chase.
Was cool.
It was cool.
Kind of reminded me of like the end of, I don't want to say that. Another game that did that. That did a chase sequence like that.
Yeah, it was very reminiscent of that. Most of the chase sequences were kind of annoying. Like the water one with the lily pads. I didn't like that section.
That one was really pretty easy. Although, and I did get tense from it, because I know you said you did that one slow. Is that the one you did slow?
No, not that one.
Because I was like freaking
out. You're probably talking about the water one or the
water lily pad one. Is that what you're saying? Water lily pad?
No, the thing where the thing in the water was going in the water.
No, there were things in the water on multiple occasions, but there is a giant enemy, like a boss type enemy, chasing you when you're in the water.
Yeah.
You have to hop in the lily pads. I'm talking about. There's another section where there's not a boss enemy. I don't even know what
they were. I remember. Yeah, that one I was like freaking out. I was like, because it was like tense for me.
Well, it was annoying because the lily pads were disappearing, and I died 4 or 5 times on that part because I didn't know that I was supposed to go to the right. I didn't see the platform there.
Oh, that's
weird. I actually had to look up what to do because I was like looking around and I didn't know I could jump to it because it's weird because the kid, like, sometimes he can swim, sometimes he dies depending on, like, I don't know what the game wants you to do.
No, it depends on if you land on a platform that's in the water. I know what you're talking about. There's an area in the swamp where you have to like jump to a bunch of different things.
Oh, I know what you mean.
There were some of the things would sink.
But sometimes they didn't tell you if you're supposed to jump.
Yeah.
Or not. And like, you just have to try it and then die. And then, I guess I'm not supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I died a whole bunch on that part just because I didn't know where to go. I mean, that guy was kind of creepy, but he was also a very underwhelming enemy at the end.
Yeah. I do like how they all... one thing that they do that's really unique, I don't think this would be a spoiler, but they kind of tell the story of the bosses. Like, they'll have these storybooks that you go through mm-hmm. and read, and it's like, I don't know, I just like that, how they do that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about the graphics? Because I thought it looked pretty decent.
Other than the character models, it looked really, really good.
You can tell the budget. Like, let's be honest. Like, in some of the gameplay aspects and in the models, like, you can tell the budget.
It was very obvious. They put almost all their time and budget into the environment, like the look of the environment.
Yeah. I mean, even the creatures, though. The creatures looked good. It was just the human, the two, the son or the brother and the sister. Those are the scary. Only, like...
Yeah.
Only odd things about the game.
They looked kind of lifeless.
Mm-hmm.
But they look like dolls.
That's why at least for me, the whole story tale thing was a little bit less believable because, like, they want you to care about the kids, yet they look like the monsters you're fighting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't feel a whole lot of, what's the term? Like, attachment.
Yeah, I didn't either, actually. Now that I think about it, I didn't feel attachment to them.
We can talk about it in the spoiler section, but. Remember when I mentioned to you, I was like, I wish they did something in the end.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're
talking about. I don't think you've said this, but I might know what you're talking
about.
You're
wishing there was like a...
I wish there were actual stakes involved.
Yeah.
I thought there was, and I was like, I can't believe they're doing this. Like, this is crazy.
And then they do something, and it's like...
Which, I want to talk about that, because they do that multiple times throughout the story, and that's... I wish they had actually, like, gone through with certain things.
Yeah, well, they gone through... There was one thing specifically, like in the middle of the game, where they went through with it.
Oh, they did,
which was crazy for me. But they didn't do it anywhere else.
Well, they did in a way. Like, I don't know. We'll have to talk about it more in detail
for the spoiler section. Yeah. But anyway, let's see. The world. We talked about the world. There's like a swamp area. The town, which was my least favorite.
I like the aspect of the little rock you have with the light.
Yeah,
that was cool.
With like the flowers. I mean, obviously it was really easy because all you had to do is just walk up to the little flower thing and click it. But like, I don't know. Cool. It was a really cool mechanic.
Yeah.
The level design, and I don't even know if I want to say puzzles, because they're not really puzzles, are incredibly linear. Like,
yeah, there's not really puzzles at all, I'd say.
What I liked about what they did in Little Nightmares was they made really good use of the space. So like, let's say there's an enemy or something in this one section that you got to like kind of stealth around. There's a locked door on the left side. You have to like find a way to get the key via a puzzle, and then you got to use this, carry this key and like maneuver around and actually get through. So you actually go back to areas like two or three times before you get through it.
And while there's a creature after you at the same time.
Yeah, that's why it's so tense sometimes, because like you have to figure out how to do this, and it's almost like a hopeless situation. But this game would like, you know, give you the key immediately, and then you open the door, and then there's like a monster section, and then there's another puzzle where you get a key immediately.
There's actually one puzzle that I remember, pretty much the only puzzle that I remember towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
With the pictures and the items.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. That was the only real puzzle, even though it was a very easy one.
I kind of wish there was more of that, because I actually liked that a lot.
Me too, yeah. Like, where you actually have to look around the room and figure out what's happening.
Yeah.
And come to think of it, the whole Resident Evil mechanic where you inspect the item only happens at the very beginning and at the very end of the game.
Where was it in the start? In the beginning?
When you're walking around the room. And
yeah.
It teaches you the mechanic. And
that would be cool if they integrated that like in the gameplay.
It would.
More.
I mean, every once in a while, like you can find like little collectibles.
But then that's just a collectible.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't actually help you with the
puzzle. Oh, you know what? There was the puzzle with the doors and the potions or whatever, but that wasn't...
Okay, that puzzle was kind of cool. It was a little easy.
But... Yeah. Yeah. It was more like, okay, here's what you do. You grab it.
I was actually struggling on the first one because I didn't know where the bottle with the three circles
were. Yeah, I did the same
I was
thing.
Like, what? Because it looked so much different than the other things. And I'm like, where
I thought
is
it was
this?
Just the circle. Yeah.
I never had trouble because they literally highlighted everything you could see in the room. So
yeah, but
yeah,
it was on like the same shelf as the
I didn't
square
see
the other one. It was just really, really, it blended in.
Huh. Yeah, that section, that was an overall pretty easy section. Puzzles.
I am curious. So, before we get into spoilers, can we confirm if this is actually their first game? I'm pretty curious.
At least on Steam, it's their first game.
What are they called? Nordic Fables, or is this something else? What is Nordic Fables? Is that a big AAA developer?
Nordic Fables. I don't know. Ramble. Oh, Defrost Studio.
Oh yeah, they had an AMA on Reddit, which is pretty interesting when they talk about the development.
Hmm.
Whisker Waters. Well, this is a developer, or the publisher.
Oh, Defrost.
See.
Meet the team. Wait, what's this? A writer and a daughter? Oh, no. Writer. What is this game? Oh, writer and his daughter. It's a new game. Oh, no. This is their first game.
This game is on Game Pass, by the way.
A writer and
I know.
His talk about Bramble.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bramble's on Game Pass.
So their first game was a game called A Writer and His Daughter. It's just a VR game.
Huh.
Adventure indie.
Leon.
What? That's $2 on Steam. But that was in 2017, and Bramble came out in...
Came out, like, recently.
Yeah.
I thought it was this year.
August? August 2023? April 2023.
April?
It's
not that far away.
Overwhelmingly positive on Steam, by the way.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, I think well-deserved, personally.
Oh, yeah.
The narrator was a late addition to the game. They did it because of COVID.
Wait.
They were originally going to have full voice acting.
Oh, I think it's better with the narration, to be honest. I don't know how I feel with...
Especially if the voice...
With the face the models? Face
animations didn't move.
I don't know. I think the narration was perfect.
I think a lot of the... Just comes down to like time and budget constraints. Because they could have done it better, I think.
If they made their face?
Yeah. I think they just chose to not develop that part.
But I thought the storytelling was actually just fitting for the whole like atmosphere of the game. So I think it worked out well. One person says Little Nightmares meets The Witcher.
I saw that too, because Steam? The Witcher has very similar lore.
Well, yeah, a lot of the enemies are like, I guess they are Nordic type. But I didn't get the
Witcher. No, I never thought of that. I saw that same comment, yeah, but I never felt that way.
Mm.
Maybe like that Wendigo game we played.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't even beaten it.
Well, I think the developers abandoned it. This is a Norwegian Little Nightmares. As a Swede that love folklore, I of course love this game.
I noticed the music. Some of it was really good and some of it was just kind of eh.
Like, what is it? The credits music was so good.
Was it the credits music?
Yeah.
I think it was.
I know what you're talking about. The credits music.
Yeah, I'm like, this is
the stringed instruments? Is that the one you're thinking of?
There was one where
there was like a bunch of Nordic instruments. Yeah. It was just so it sounded so good.
I heard fake violin at one point and I was like, ugh.
Yeah, I think a lot of the music is really good. And then anything that wasn't good,
I don't remember.
Forgot. Yeah, I forgot. So
like it wasn't bad. It just wasn't memorable.
Then there's the final boss music. It was like that.
Sierra was watching me at this point, and I was like, you know what that song, right? Well, it's called In the Hall of the Mountain King. That's what the song is called. And I actually like knowing that going into the game, you hear like little motifs of that in certain times, like when the mountain's in view, you hear like. It sounds like a stock music version of it almost.
Huh.
Like, it's like slow. And like, the closer you get to the game, the faster it gets.
Huh.
And up until like that last boss fight, where it's just full blast, like in your face. That's why really I thought the last boss fight was so cool.
That is a really cool aspect. I like that.
And I don't know if they based, I don't really know the history behind that story or the music. Like, is that based on the same folklore?
I don't know.
Not sure. But it is interesting.
You guys want to get into spoilers?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Throw up the banner, Ben. Yeah.
Spoiler
time. Yeah, anyone who's in the video portion, we're going to jump into spoilers. So, what's the one thing I was going to say?
Start with the butcher section, with it being...
Well, yeah, what?
That's extremely violent.
That was like the first time where you just see like literal guts.
Yeah,
gore,
like everywhere.
And when you die, you die. You get chopped in half. Like,
I was surprised by that. Did you die by the butcher? Where he's like going.
Actually, yeah, I died a few times. One of the times, he stabbed forward with his knife, and my character went and flew off the screen.
It was a little janky.
It was hilarious.
But I got chopped in half, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah,
that is like. Well, actually, prior to that, I did die. I think by one of the traps.
The bear traps?
Yeah, because I think that was just before you got to the butcher place. And that's when I first realized, because I wasn't sure if they were going to put blood in the game or if it was going to be like gory, but I got chopped in half and I was like, okay, I'm expecting
this game. Well, it said, before you start the game, it's like there's disturbing images and blood and gore. And I'm like,
I must have ignored
they say, excuse me? Disturbing images, blood and gore. I don't even know if I want to say like infanticide. Like, I don't even know if that's going to, like, yeah, it said that in the beginning. And
I didn't see that part. I only read the blood and gore section.
And I don't know if YouTube might even flag it for just saying that, but it literally said all that, like the warning at the beginning.
Huh.
So like I was like, oh no, like what baby are we talking about here?
Yeah.
So I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
It wasn't shocking just because of that warning.
I actually didn't expect it.
Yeah.
What in the cabin, right? So in the swamp area, there's like a witch section. And we're not going to get much into it because it's like demonic. And
well, I don't really know the whole lore, but
she's just straight up a witch.
Yeah, but there's a lady that you fought there too, who was the midwife who wanted like more souls of dead babies or something crazy like that.
That's the scarecrow thing.
Yeah. Like what? She wanted their souls. Is that what it was?
I guess.
It was so weird.
It was like when I was in the cabin flipping through the pages of
I told you, I'm like, read the book when you get into the next room.
They give you a book and it tells you it's like straight up demonic, like symbols and like stuff like that. And I'm like,
yeah.
And there's a person that's like, oh,
it's like a picture of a baby on one point.
Yeah. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, that's so demonic. Like, but this was like straight
up. It's like, what?
You also hear a baby crying in the background too.
Yeah.
And like that whole section was definitely the most horror focused.
It made me.
Yeah, but it's like, it's uncomfortable horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like, if they had kept on with that, I would have been like, all right, that's a little bit too much.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I'm on the fence about the whole baby thing because at some point you find the baby in a puddle and then the kid buries it
Okay, so that was huge because I was even Chuck was in the chat and I was like, did they actually just do that? Like they the Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they did it. They went through with the whole thing. Cause during that whole scene, you're following the witch that has the baby and you're like kind of trying to get to her before she sacrifices it or whatever. But what I was saying before with the gnomes, I saw someone point out that because the gnomes, when they die, like you were playing with them and then they die, that whole thing is like a theme throughout the whole adventure. Ole like sees the gnomes that he played with die. He can't save the baby. And like all these things happen to the end of the game. And that's why he's like so messed up. And it even during the narration, it says, Ole is sad that he couldn't save the gnomes and save the baby and sad that he killed the witch or whatever.
Yeah.
Like he has all these regrets.
He hopes they would forgive him.
Yeah.
Like, well, he didn't kill the witch. The witch killed herself. He
killed the witch.
What? The witch in the forest. He stabbed her in the face.
Oh, I got the achievement.
No, that's not a witch.
That was a
witch. It was a witch.
I got an achievement for stabbing her in the face 100 times.
There's a name for it. It was like a...
She was literally a witch. She was a shapeshifter.
It was the shapeshifting witch creature.
I don't know. I was reading before. It was like...
You're thinking of the plague lady.
No. The lady that you need to shoot the people in the trees. No, that thing is a creature that like... makes a male fall in love with her or something, and like they live in like a cave for the rest of their lives together, and she's like becomes a housewife.
What?
Or something weird like that.
No, well, she has like an army of slaves.
Well, but that's the backstory to it. The game is a little different with the way they do it. But
well, okay, so that whole section with the zombies, so
we're talking about the zombies.
The zombies are the same section.
It's a part of the same town. Same town was affected by both that creature witch lady and then right after the plague happened.
It's because of it, yeah. Yeah. So what happened was I don't know if you read the storybook, but this lady started like luring men into the woods and they were disappearing. So after a while, this whole town started to go a little bit crazy. And then they started like literally having this huge witch hunt, like killing their like wives and daughters and stuff, believing it's them. And those are actually the dead people in the town. That's not a plague. Those people, those bodies were like the women and children that they killed.
It was also morbid that when you're walking into the town, both left and right are filled with these crosses of these dark haired women.
Yeah.
Because apparently
it was a witch hunt.
Yeah. It was a witch hunt for dark haired, like a dark haired woman that would take the men into the forest.
And then, so they burn the forest, hoping that that would finally kill the witch. And at some point, like literally everyone was gone. And those people, the zombies, were the people that the shapeshifter infected.
Oh,
because you see in the storybook,
that's what the bramble is.
You see the guy hanging on the tree, like the same people that were in the forest. That's not the bramble.
No. The bramble is covered in the zombies.
The bramble is the darkness, but it's also the flower.
Yeah,
the bramble is
the zombies were covered in bramble.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. They're pretty unrelated. Maybe the bramble is like the ultimate evil there, but the witch was the reason that the zombies were there to begin
with. Well, I thought the plague and the zombies came from the lady with the rake. Patan or whatever her name was.
No. Oh, maybe that was the plague. I don't know. It was a bit confusing.
I thought the lady in the woods was just luring people away. I thought that was unrelated.
Well, so I think that the zombies finished off the people that were infected by an actual plague. I'm pretty sure that like the rake person was like the plague bearer or something. Yeah. Like there was an actual side plague thing that killed the remainder of the town, and the zombies came in and ate them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because in her boss fight, she shoves rats at you.
She was called like Plagas or.
But yeah, I saw a woman zombie in the house.
I don't know. Maybe they turned them into zombies. But I know that in the storybook they showed the picture of like the zombie on the tree and said it was the people that this lady infected.
Well, no, that was just the men that had their chest open, and she drew power from them.
I don't know. It's kind of confusing. There's like three things going on at once.
Yeah, that town had like a bunch of stuff going on.
I don't know. I thought the zombies were just covered in bramble, and the bramble was the thing that was turning them.
I don't think it was the bramble. No. It was either the witch lady or the Patan, whatever her name is, plague lady.
Okay. Yeah, the bramble was ultimately, I don't know if it was.
I think really it was like just stated. The evil in the whole area.
Yeah. Like, so I think like it infected the king and then started slowly spread and like, started choking out all the good in certain places, Maybe it made people go crazy and attack each other.
I want to bring this up before I forget, but you were saying you wish the ending was different. And I know what you mean. The whole stakes thing, there's no stakes. Like, the king ate Olay's sister, but I knew she wasn't dead, though, because I didn't see him chew her.
Yeah, he didn't chew.
And I was like, he swallowed her, but he chewed the stomach acids? Yeah.
Did she not make it?
She was covered in stomach acids anyways when she cut herself out of the body.
I think it would have been crazy to see if she died. And Olay, after all like that stuff, including killing the witch and all that, like seeing his sister die, he like, I don't know, has...
Well, he basically, Olay died because he threw the rock into the king's mouth.
But once again, no stakes there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he dies. And then, oh, that was bad. And then the sister uses the rock, which she could turn into a sword, which was how the thing in the woods got stabbed to death.
Mm-hmm.
She cut herself out of the king's stomach, and then the rock brought Olay back to life.
Yeah, that was her one.
And I'm
wish.
Like, really?
I don't know. Maybe it's a part of the folklore, like that rock has some like meaning to it. But like, why does she get a one wish? Like,
well, the rock was part of the small piece of the big one at the lighthouse.
Lighthouse?
Or the tower.
The castle tower?
So basically, when they went to the top of the tower, there was like the huge crystal. When he brought it closer, it lit the rest of the crystal up. It was a piece of that.
Oh.
I don't know exactly what that crystal was, but it... Huh. I kind of forgot about it until
now.
Speaking
of that tower, there's a few theories, and I've... Okay, so I can't confirm this, but I've heard that the developers have like somewhat confirmed something. But basically, one of the theories is, okay, they died when they fell at the beginning of the game, and they're dead. Or they got knocked out, and it's a dream. Those are two theories. Another one is that they got bombed because of the time period. But I saw a comment where someone from Sweden was like, actually, that doesn't make any sense, because the Swedish were non-involved in the war, and it doesn't make any sense that they were bombed. Or whatever, and then something happened. I don't know.
Mm.
Then the other theory is that everything happened. Everything happened in the... And that's what I seen a lot of like people from that area in the comments. I saw three say that that's what they think is what happened, because it's like they went into another world and those stories were real or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I usually like to see stuff like that or try to find the hidden like allegorical meaning or whatever. I didn't see any of that. It seemed like it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was there. There wasn't any extra meaning. Like, what is happening is actually happening.
And I saw another person support that theory, in that the light, they felt that the light brought Olay and his sister into that world so that they can help with the whole Bramble King thing.
So, like, they got teleported in when they were at the tower?
Like, the good witch, lady that originally gave the king the flower to heal his son, she brought them into that world so that they could remove the bramble or something.
Oh, honestly, in my interpretation was that they were just a part of that world.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't another world. It was just, they just went into the woods and that was just there.
Yeah, it could have been.
Because, like, don't go into the woods. The mom warned them. She probably knew that stuff is out there. And they might have been safe at their house, but that she knew that it was dangerous in the woods or whatever.
The people who were bringing up the argument or the theory that they were it was like a part of their dreams or they were dead were saying that the book at the start of the game with the girl that goes into the woods, it was like, oh, she was led by fairies and the sister was also led by fairies before she got caught, so then that's his sister and Olay is dead or something. I was like, I don't know if I like...
No, it's already
legit.
Mystical enough. I don't know if you need to bring like another weird theory into it.
Yeah,
it doesn't need it.
I just don't think the whole like, oh, they were dead or they were dreaming thing really works. I mean,
I had that theory at the start, but by the end of the game, I was like, no, there's nothing to support that.
Yeah, I think it is like the whole like they went outside, and those folk tales are told for a reason, like because they actually experienced them.
Right? Yeah,
that makes sense.
I think the thing you said before about the stakes was ultimately my biggest complaint. Like, there was jank, but I feel like Little Nightmares, it sets things up. Like, it really builds tension. And whenever there's, like, a boss fight, like, it's really intense. And, like, you are on the edge of your seat. And if you kill the boss, you're like, oh, man, that was satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
There's a boss in this game that grabs you and jumps off a cliff and kills himself.
Oh yeah.
Like, what is that boss? He didn't even fight him. He just dies.
Mm-hmm.
Like the butcher, you throw light in his eyes and then he stops attacking you for a little bit. He never dies.
Like, you threw like blood in his eyes. You didn't have the light.
No, you shine the light.
Yeah.
The butcher?
Yeah. It was the same like shooting mechanic.
I thought when he slammed it, the blood fell down from the ceiling and you threw it in his eyes.
Oh, maybe it was, but still, like, that really shouldn't have done a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you get away from him. I'm pretty sure he's alive for the whole game.
Well, I don't think he's actively out for you, though. He was just hungry. He just saw you and was like, oh, I'm just going to kill this thing, whatever this
no,
is.
No, he's not. But also, that's also what makes Little Nightmares creepy, is because when they see you, they want you. Yeah. Like, they're going to hunt you down. Mm-hmm. Like the other, like the giant that kidnaps his sister. He doesn't do a very good job of hunting you. Like, he just, like, he puts his little light there, and then he, like, looks back and forth
mm-hmm.
at the wall so you can easily go by him.
That was very Little Nightmare-esque.
It was,
the light
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
Well, there were a couple
with,
moments.
Same with the intestines monster.
Intestines monster.
Yeah, that
there
was...
There was a couple
that was
things
the book thing that I was thinking of.
Yeah, that was the one that I thought
sorry,
really
not the
easy.
Book. The shoe area.
Yeah.
Little Nightmares.
Where you sacrifice the gnome.
Well, that was stupid, too, because... I didn't know there was a gnome in there. I thought, I'm like, oh, what is this cage? And I push it.
No,
and then,
you kind of have to. It's like a...
Yeah.
If you try to run for the thing without pushing the gnome, you're going to die. Because the gnome is used as bait so
yeah,
for you to
I,
get to the end.
I feel like that could have been better set up. Like, maybe he's, like, the only gnome that's with you and you're protecting him for a while. Mm. And then you're forced to, like, actually throw him
oh,
to the
that
wolves.
Would be dark.
And he gets destroyed in front of you.
Mm.
Like, that would really have an impact.
Yeah.
Like instead, you push his cage into the blood, and he's assumed that he drowns because I don't know if the monster could get to him in the cage. But there's really no stakes. Like I'm like, I didn't feel bad. Like I would have if I had known he was in there. But mm-hmm. the game like forces it on you, and I was like, all right, game, I see what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
More so than like, I don't know, if they make you do something, and then you feel bad about it, that's one thing. But
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in certain cases throughout the whole game, it's like that.
Well, it's very, like, I don't want to say, it's kind of like cookie cutter in a way. Like, the ending was pretty cookie cutter, happy ending, which I'm fine with.
I mean.
But there weren't any, like, yeah, there weren't any stakes, or, like, a lot of areas didn't have any stakes.
Kind
of
like you said,
dry.
It's kind of cookie cutter. But the thing is, like, they did so many things in the game that, like, surprised us.
Like, it is, yeah, it is. It
and
is,
then
is,
all of a sudden, it? They just do the basic. Oh, yeah. The rock is going to bring it back to life. Boom. They lived happily ever after. It's like...
It is, but it isn't. Like, the baby thing with the witch. That is definitely not. And I'm very surprised that they did that.
Yeah. Well, they didn't stick to their own theme. I'm like, okay, so there's two interpretations here. The interpretation, I guess, could be he's desperately trying to save these creatures, and he can't. And at the very end... He finds out that he can't really save his sister, so he makes one last attempt and sacrifices himself, and that's when he can actually save. So I guess that's one interpretation. But the way I saw it was they tried to do this thing where, like, Oleg couldn't save them, and he was sad, and he wants their forgiveness, and then he's, like, couldn't save his sister, but then he did. So what was the point of all of that leading up to it? It kind of invalidates that as well. Like, yeah, you let all these creatures die, but then, oh, well, go live happily ever after.
Yeah.
Zero consequences at all. Mm. Just the part where the giant showed up, like, I thought that was crazy, the set piece. And then he just eats the sister, and I was like, that is insane. I can't believe they would do that. And, like, I was already, that put it on, like, Little Nightmares level for me right there. But then, like, they undid it, and it drew it back.
Yeah, you Little know? Nightmares would have stuck to that.
Maybe if he had died when saving her, that would have been fine. The sister lived happily ever after, or whatever. But
and it's still a cautionary tale.
Yeah, but usually the cautionary tales end in both kids.
Yeah,
dying.
But imagine they did it in a way where he gets eaten too, and he goes in and sees his dead sister, and then he died. And then that's the end of the game.
Nah,
and just him
I don't
in the
know.
Stomach.
Just the fact that like the giant was huge, and he even ate that other guy.
Yeah, but he chewed him.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I thought that boss was impactful because you were running from this guy for a while, this giant, and then there's this massive guy that just eats him in, like, mm-hmm. three bites.
Yeah.
And, like, just utterly shows how powerless you are now. Like, this guy will destroy everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a whole scene with like the whole boss fight and the music crescendoing was insane.
I kept dying by that stupid thing where he take his sword and baton and whack it together.
Yeah.
I kept dying by that. I'm like, dude, how are you supposed to do this?
So that's, I had looked it up, and when he does the baton, the scepter, it hits the ground and it always rains down these little rocks. After he does that, he will do the double one, but you're supposed to hide behind the rocks.
Yeah. Sometimes he did the sword after. He would switch it up.
Oh, yeah, well, he would switch it up, yeah.
If he does the double one, he always has done the single scepter first because the rocks should be there.
Yeah.
The only way to survive that is to hide behind those rocks that fall.
Yeah, that was the one... That's one of the reasons I had some issues with that boss fight was because it was... Okay, the little flowers on his shoulders regen, like, each time.
They don't regen. Actually, but,
Well, they come...
Each phase,
like,
yes.
First it was three, then it was, like, four. Or no, there's only two phases, right?
There's three.
Oh, but the last one, I was like, oh my gosh, there's like 15 flowers and I have to do this, hide behind the rock, shoot the flower. He'll do it again, hide behind the rock. And like, and then if I die in between that process, it resets.
Yeah.
And I have to shine the light at the
I reset a lot on that
part. I wish it would allow you to like do a couple flowers at a time, but you're risking it. Like if you're getting greedy, you could do two flowers, but you can only do one and then it resets and he does the thing and then you do it and then it.
You only have like such little leeway because the kid is super slow.
Well, I did it really fast because I found that if you get the timings right, you could get about two shots in before he did anything. So if you did it like right at the end of an attack and right before he did another attack, you could get two in. But yeah. I don't know. Like at the end boss fight, it wasn't that difficult. There's the other one you were talking about where you're in the boat, which
the rat one.
Honestly, my issue with that fight was how janky the controls were with the oars. I never figured out how to do it. I was like holding the buttons and then he like stops sometimes. I would alternate, I would tap them, like nothing would make him go faster.
It was the same thing with you doing the pulley, the rope system thing.
Yeah,
it was like every once in a while it would just like three taps of the R2. Oh no, I have to do L2.
I just went like this
for two taps.
Like just spam that.
The rope one I got to a consistent rhythm, but the boat I never could. Even after the boss fight, I was like, all right, let me just try to do this slowly and figure this out. And I couldn't figure it out.
Wait, yeah. In the boat boss fight, when she like is trying to eat you and her head is like
the first time that actually scared
me.
So
it actually killed me the first time.
I died out the first time. Like, so I was mad at it the first time. Like, this is the stupidest thing ever, but it actually was kind of creepy. Like, just right in your face.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, that boss was a little bit long. I think it should have been maybe one phase.
That's the main thing that I said was a little tedious.
Yeah.
But it was like High Lord Wolnir fight.
That was kind of, that was kind of creepy with, like, the eyes behind you in the boat. Like, they were, like, glowing yellow.
Oh yeah,
with rowing. It going dark.
Yeah,
yeah, that was pretty creepy.
Yeah, and you're rowing the boat at first, and then like you blink or something, and then like the enemy's behind you.
Yeah,
like that could have been in like jump scare. I never got jump scared at all in this game.
I don't think I ever.
It's not that type of game.
No, but I think this was great though. I think this was like just what we needed for like that. We're waiting for Little Nightmares 3, so it's kind of like that that in between. For us,
and we're also checking our expectations with the third one too, because it's not by the same team.
I'm worried, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna be co-op.
So that'll be interesting.
One of us, I don't know if I want to play co-op though.
I know I was gonna say one of us is gonna.
Well, we were worried about Little Nightmares 2 having the second player, the second AI person. So and that worked out pretty well. So
that is true.
Well, I feel like it wouldn't be as scary if you played it co-op for sure.
Yeah.
People are mad already that it's not going to have the same characters. I'm like, I don't want the same characters. I want different ones.
Well, I'm curious.
New story in the world.
I feel like they have to. Well, the thing is I don't know if I should say it. It'll be a spoiler for Little Nightmares 2, but there is more story for the 4-6. We can talk about
it. That was the other game, yeah.
Yeah. But there's more, like, there's a cliffhanger for 6. So there's something afterwards, so I'm curious if they're going to connect it. Then the fourth game is going to be 6 again, or
I don't know,
but
be interesting.
We do have the drinks again.
Oh yeah. No.
Is it ranch?
Oh, okay, let's choose this time,
even though it's a random choice.
Pretty
much.
We won't have to do the ranch if you don't, because I know you're like Chug really doesn't like ranch, let alone like,
I mean, it is drink. Just like the smallest sip ever, so
yeah. That looks yellow to me.
It's, oh no.
This morning I was eating one of my vitamins, and I got this new sort of vitamin or whatever that it's like a quick dissolve, and I hate it.
Oh
like,
no.
I ran out of water on my last sip and it didn't go down. Like it got tongue. So I sprinted to get more water and it started dissolving on my tongue.
I'm scared of this.
That's the worst. Huh?
Sweet corn.
Sweet corn. You know, this is gonna be
sweet corn.
If it's sweet though, I don't know.
I don't know. You have to use your
keys.
I could do it.
I feel better about that than fried chicken or whatever that
was. Yeah, I always panic when I try to swallow my pills and then one gets stuck on my tongue and it starts dissolving.
Yeah, I hate
that one meme with the giant pill.
Yeah.
And it's a hard pill to swallow.
And it's just a literal giant pill.
I love that.
Would that be an anti-meme? Is that what you call it? Where it's like literal?
No, I have a couple of those literal memes. They're kind of funny.
This is that one video I sent in the chat where it's like, you can't do this with, or what is it? It's like, you haven't lived if you haven't done this. And it has an image of like someone breathing in and breathing out or something. It's so good.
It kind of reminds me of like that Pokemon one where it's like when you're tearing out the intestines of a Pokemon trainer and it's like it's boss baby crying.
What?
But it's funny because like,
oh yeah,
it's like that you're tearing out their intestines. Like, it doesn't matter if they're a Pokemon trainer or not, or a Pokemon player.
We were playing Jackbox on vacation, and one of the prompts that came up was how do you annoy this player, and Chug's response was stab him in the chest
with a knife.
Yeah, that's how you annoy me. You just straight up stab me to death.
I love those literal memes.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good one.
Good? It smells good?
Again.
I wish we could show it on the screen right now. We're just getting this corn drink ready.
This is so annoying. I gotta get one of those, like, I gotta get a bottle opener.
So you can open up your
bottle.
Your bottles?
Yeah.
This is a funny one though. This isn't an anti meme. It's a coloring book with Qui-Gon Jinn and Jar Jar Binks is whispering in his ear, and the caption is Jesus being tempted by Satan in the desert.
Oh, that smells gross. I'm gonna wash this off after. I'm not gonna like this one. There's something about it. Like, I don't mind sweet corn, to be honest, but just the thought of it being a drink is really disturbing to me.
Like, you were more fine with the chicken one.
The chicken one wasn't that bad. I still got goosebumps.
How do you have meat drink? That's just weird.
Do you guys smell that?
No.
Why is it so uncanny? Like, this shouldn't be.
Mm.
Ben. Come grab your yummy.
Oh, yeah, I smell it now. That smells weird.
Not smelling it.
It smells like vomit.
I don't want to smell.
I don't like that smell at all.
It smells like sweet corn, but it's not.
It does.
It's not the corn. Thanksgiving like.
It's the corn in the garbage the day after Thanksgiving.
And you have to drink it.
Did you just smell it close up? I'm not doing that. I gotta drink it in a second. I can smell it already.
You guys ready?
Yeah. Right. I'm just gonna tap my tongue against this.
3, 2, 1.
Oh.
Oh, it's so sweet.
It does oddly taste like corn though.
The aftertaste isn't too bad.
No, the aftertaste is worse, but it actually tastes like corn.
Ugh.
Like,
it's like so gross.
I got goosebumps again.
The smell is so bad.
For a second there, I like could have sworn I had corn in my mouth. Like, yeah. For real, it actually really tastes like it, but it's
made with the juices that's found in the can.
Yeah, how do they replicate this?
That might just be carbonated corn juice.
Yeah. Try to see the ingredients.
That's gross.
Wait, carbonated artisan spring water, Okay. Pure cane sugar, citric acid, natural and artificial flavors, yellow 5, yellow 6, flash pasteurized stability. What? Flash pasteurized and stability and safety.
Bud grabs it and he just starts chugging the whole thing.
That's really gross.
Imagine you go to someone's house and you open their fridge and it's full of that. You'd be like, I gotta go.
Yeah. Like, you want a drink?
What do you got? Oh, I got sweet corn, buffalo chicken.
Yeah, buffalo chicken.
Peanut butter jelly.
That one wasn't too bad, I guess. I think that's...
The bread was bad. Really gross. Honestly, how did they get bread taste in there?
I think the barbecue chicken was the least. Worst.
It wasn't barbecue chicken. It was buffalo chicken.
Oh, buffalo.
Yeah, that one didn't taste a whole like a lot of anything.
Yeah, that one was really bad. That one's really gross.
It just, I don't know. It smells like the Big E bathrooms, like a fair urinal or something.
And you wouldn't think like sweet corn. It wouldn't be like the worst, I guess. But the smell is so intense. Like it's ruminating.
If it was regular corn, it might actually be decent smell.
What? No, I don't know.
No, it's this. It's like that sweet corn savoriness that is gross.
Yeah, it tastes like you took all the corn out of the can from a sweet corn can and drank the.
Is there a difference between normal corn and sweet corn?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah,
big
there's
difference.
Sugar or sweetener added to it. So, corn alone is pretty sweet, but
because I don't usually have sweet corn, but
usually sweet corn,
it's like a southern thing. I get it from.
It has like a whitish tint to it.
Huh.
Like the actual liquid.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
And then the regular corn is like, I don't know.
All right. Well, that was that. Good game. Definitely good game. Recommend playing it. It's on Game Pass.
Oh, so. I thought you were saying GG to the drink.
Good game.
So next week we'll do Killer Frequency, which I think is going to be pretty interesting. From the trailer, it looked really good.
I hope it's good.
Yeah.
Is that our last week?
We have one more after, but I mean,
Halloween would be
because we skipped 1 week.
Yeah, so we might have to do the other game another time, or we could just do the other game and just not make it Halloween series. Mundan.
Yeah, I'm down to
So we'll see. But all right, thanks everyone for watching and listening, and we will see you in the next episode.